Hi, and welcome to Night Clerk Radio. This is episode 69, our fall Discord recommendations. With me, as always, is my co-host, Burke. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm fine, Ross. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Great.
We're going to be looking through a lot of different albums in this episode because, well, as hopefully you know, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/nightclerkradio. And one of the rewards for our patrons is access to our Discord server. And it's a small but active community. And a lot of our patrons have shared recommendations of albums they found recently. And so we're doing kind of like a roundup of just going through recommendations from the last 6 months or so. And there's a lot of albums to talk about. So instead of doing an in-depth dive on two albums, we're covering more than two. So quite an eclectic mix too of music.
Yeah. That's one of the cool things about the community is that it's not just like vaporwave and dark ambient kind of are into everything. Mm-hmm. Some of those at like a much deeper level, or they don't live in the US, so they have access to different media or just different awarenesses than myself. So it ends up being a wide variety. So we're actually doing like, eight albums today. So can't talk about each one probably in as much depth as they deserve, but hopefully it's a nice little survey for people to check out.
Yeah. Yeah. First album is entitled Live from a Bomb Shelter in Ukraine by Henley.
Just starting off with the light ones. Just
Yeah. Just the feel good music of the year. Henley is a Ukrainian composer and sound artist based in Kiev. Henley recorded this in May of 2022, or his most recent one. This was recorded October 28th. It is an analog synth composition, 28 minutes long. There is actually a YouTube performance of this, as you could see it as he is playing in a bomb shelter. And the liner notes are very interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, giving the context of being in a literal war. And for the performance, seated before a compact modular rig, Henley managed to save. He coaxes airy figures based upon medieval counterpoint into tangled thickets of polyphony and rich thrumming drones. It's a very like analog synth ambient composition of like starting. It's building into like this layered soundscape as you start. It starts very simply and it just sort of builds and builds over the course of the composition. Mm-hmm. And certainly by the end, it gets very interesting and complex, but yeah, if you like analog synth, you know, modular synth kind of like ambient music, this is an excellent example of it.
Yeah, I really like this album. It's really kind of some of my favorite aspects of synth, where there's a lot of like really great drone and like space synth pulsating type textural ambient synth. There's like a little bit in the middle around like 12 to 15 minutes. It's like a little noodly, which kind of starts to lose me in some sense, but the last like 10 minutes are just awesome, awesome drone. And even like the middle noodly parts aren't that bad, but like if it was just like nothing but kind of the last like 10-ish minutes, I'd be super, super, super into it.
Yeah, it really comes into its own in the last third of the composition. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I kind of noticed the same thing. Like you put an album on and you start focusing on the beginning, but then you kind of like, your focus drifts to something else. And so I kind of got that. So it's kind of like had it odd and then was it. And then I, it like grabbed my attention in that last. I was like, oh, hello, this is interesting. So it's a cool little album. And obviously the music will benefit Ukrainian humanitarian initiatives. So, you know, it goes, if you want to buy it on Bandcamp, it's going for a very worthy cause, obviously. And also just that, you know, all music is made in a real place at a real time. And so the context of like, this is the equipment he had available to him because it's a fucking war. You know, it's like, holy shit. There's another section in the, took two 50 meter Ethernet cables coupled together and shielded from the rain with a plastic bag. Fixing the issues, the electricity, I played a set based on Organa, an album I'd worked on for the past year until the Russian invasion brought it to a halt. I reimagined the 12th and 13th century polyphonic compositions of the Parisian school in modular synthesis. So, I mean, yeah, it's art created like, he was working on something else, and then, you know, the war happened, and this is what he has managed to salvage from it. So, yeah, fascinating piece of art.
Second album is Tokyo Nights 1987 by Migraine on the Underwater Computing label. So this is a complete change in gears from Bomb Shelter synth, where this is very classic, like slush wave, broken transmission, lo-fi, vaporwave.
Although it does get kind of feature funky towards the end.
That was kind of the first thing I was going to say is that, you know, you kind of say that and you expect it to sound certain way, right? But it actually has a fairly broad sample base. It feels like it pulls from a lot of inspiration. So the album actually ends up having a lot more variety than like your typical kind of slush wave fare.
Yeah, no, it does. Like the last two album tracks in particular. Yeah, super, super. There's actually the last four tracks are all remixes. Yeah. So that might explain it. And or actually the last five tracks are remixes. It's interesting too, also because I wonder if this is actually a re-release or not, because it was released. The Bandcamp for this album is released November 1, 2022, but mini disc 30th anniversary November 1st, 1992 to November 1st. So I don't know.
That's when the mini disc came out.
Yeah, but like, you know, a lot of these, it already has a physical media release with a mini disc. So I just, a lot of these Vaporwave albums are re-released to like, hey, look, we have a physical media release. You can actually buy it now.
So the artist linked where they linked their Twitter. That Twitter account's from 2019. So I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a really interesting, like, varied Vaporwave album and pretty fun too. Like mini discs in particular are such a fascinating piece of media technology.
I loved my mini disc player.
Aww. My brother had a mini disc player too. He lived in Japan for a couple of years teaching English, and you know, mini discs are huge over there. Yeah, and I still have a box of my brother's mini discs around somewhere of his house and techno mixes. But it's a fascinating look. Like I really like the VHS sort of like screenshot of some people standing, presumably, you know, holding umbrellas, presumably in Tokyo or some other city. You're right. You know, for slush wave and signal wave, it's really varied and really interesting. So I quite like it.
Yeah. Standout tracks for me were like track 7, I think, like, was like, this just really interesting, like trip hoppy type sample, which I really liked.
I listened to this like late last night and I was expecting, oh, Slush Wave, it'll be cool and chill. And it's like, holy shit, this is not, it was a little more active and high tempo than I was expecting for Slush Wave. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm thinking more like Telepath kind of style stuff.
Yeah. But
this is not that. So yeah, it's mm-hmm. a fun album and a interesting look into someone else's nostalgia for the 90s. Yeah, that vaporwave, hyperreal nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah. Transitions nicely, I think, into like our third album, which is mm-hmm. Isuzu Piazza, which is released on Cat System Core.
Mm-hmm. Something Enterprises. Yeah, it is Japanese. I forgot to look up. Oh, Impulse. Mm. So the Isuzu Impulse was a car.
Mm.
Probably it is related to that.
Yeah, I took this album to be in that like Cat System Core vein of corporate vaporwave, you know, like corporate mm-hmm. mixtape and Mallsoft type stuff. It's from 2016, so just to be clear, these are not all recent albums. Mm-hmm. Just recently came across our doorstep. And it does feel very much in that, like, corporate vaporwave vibe. Like, just a real knack for finding, like, funky, interesting stuff in that sample set.
I'm reminded of that Saturn vaporwave tape that was that was Plunderphonics based and took from, like, a Saturn sales video. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think this is along the same lines. I think this is a heavily Plunderphonics album, taking material, sales promotional material for the Isuzu Impulse, a very like like early 90s looking car. I love the track names too. You know, Isuzu Piazza XF Automatic
1981.
Yeah. The Tokyo Motor Show, you know, like shit like that. But yeah, it's really like, yeah, corporate, like vaporwave, like that really like generic sounding music, but like just altered slightly enough to give it that vaporwave feel. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is as vaporwave as it gets.
And it's very of the time, you know, 2016, mm-hmm. I think was kind of the, I don't want to say the peak for some of this stuff, but where it was really coming into its own, you know, like there's just tracks called like Tape Start A and B, mm-hmm. and they have like these little interstitial pieces that are not pulled from like motor show commercial type samples.
Mm-hmm.
Track 8, Tape Start B in particular, is some very good, like vanilla advertising funk. Oh man.
Yeah. Another thing, here it is. It's the Saturn audio system demonstration cassette. That's the one I was thinking of.
I remember that. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Good times.
Yeah. Just some really like good straight up vaporwave.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to our signal wave portion of the episode.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. one of our favorite signal wave artists, CT57, who we've previously discussed. What was
And the Telesat, which was like Canadian, it was a Canadian communications satellite, and it was all pulled. It was all samples pulled from those broadcasts.
Mm-hmm. So this is called Midnight Gas. It was just released November 1st of this year. And yeah, it's very like chill, like signal wave. It is very late night, like let's relax. Got that really nice, heavy, static, lo-fi crackle to it. It's very chill and very the ambient music of a gas station at midnight.
Yeah, I like this album, of course, in that style of nostalgic signal wave. Mm-hmm. Like you said, you know, that little bit of, you know, you can go over analysis and be like, oh, you know, the distortion and the static is like a memory. We have to like really focus, like cut through, because it is hard to tell what's sampled sometimes. Mm-hmm. And you have to like really listen. Just interesting samples. So like, I think in one of the tracks, like Nevada, which is track 6. Like, I think that's like one of the only samples I can make out, which was like, I think the Midnight Cowboy theme, like the John Voight vehicle.
Damn.
I guess nice. Is like a vehicle is maybe a weird word for that film if you've seen it. But
Yeah.
Yeah, I think some of that's in there. I'm sure there's other samples, but yeah. And also like gas stations are an interesting, I don't know, like underappreciated liminal space, maybe. Maybe I'm wrong about that. Like this blurry ass Exxon in the album covers, maybe proving that other people also think that, but I don't know. I have like a lot of weird high school memories of going to gas stations because where I lived, like Sheetz was the only thing that was open 24/7, like that in Walmart.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's more conducive to actually like hanging out than a Walmart. Right. Like, I mean, by degrees, like relatively speaking, like it's one of the few places that are open. It's this sort of liminal space. You're there just for a few minutes to get gas. Everyone has to go there to get gas sooner or later. So you don't know who you're going to run into. One of the things I like about this album is like Signal Wave, you know, often leans on this sort of like drone, like looping element, you know, like Infinity Frequencies does. And this doesn't do it quite, you know, it's not like one loop repeated for multiple things. It's more like letting the full sample play out like this bit of music, which I like, because sometimes the looping there's a lot of signal wave I've listened to. It's like, oh, this is just irritating. This is not doing it for me, but this one. Yeah. Infinity Frequencies can do it, but like very few other signal wave artists can do that looping thing, because you like for the looping, you want it to be hypnotic and not like, oh God, this is irritating.
Right.
But this one doesn't, Midnight Gas doesn't do that at all, really, because it's like full songs or larger pieces of sample music.
Yeah, it's really, I hate to compare artists, although I guess we do it a lot, so maybe I don't hate it that much. Mm-hmm. But it's much closer to like Everywhere at the End of Time aesthetic than like glitchy, broken transmission stuff. That's why I call it like nostalgic or like memory-focused signal wave, which is much more listenable to me than what you were describing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there was a time where it's like, I got to find some more. There's got to be more great signal wave out there. And it turns out there's a lot of stuff that's, No.
You could be the great signal wave, Ross.
I know. I need to get into that. Yeah, my problem with that has been like live. I have a copy of Ableton Live, but I just, God, the interface is miserable. I need to find like something with an interface I can actually like use.
That's not how it works. You gotta learn. That's how editing software, be it audio or video, kind of sucks. And you gotta just learn it.
Yep.
Anyway. We'll be right back.
We have Lotto by Kraftwerk, which is a German artist. At least they say, mm-hmm. yeah, another signal wave artist. And this is a German. The samples come from German Lotto announcements, presumably from the 80s, it looks like, judging from the album cover, which looks, I mean, maybe even 70s. Like, it is very old looking.
Could be. Could be. Yeah. So Kraftwerk has been featured before. Another artist I really like. So we had Teletexto Especial was one of the non-weather channel kind of climate wave albums that we did. So yeah, so the sample base is always interesting because it's clearly not US-based media, which I appreciate. You hear different stuff. But yeah, but this is like, it's like a take on Number Stations to me.
Yeah?
Because, you know, all the track titles, except for a few that are like interlude or whatever, are just sequences of numbers. And I assume it's just people reading like bingo or lotto numbers at me. So like Number Stations are a thing that's come up on the show before in the context of Analog Horror, I believe is when we talked about them, which were like these shortwave radio stations that would just broadcast number sequences. And because of their shortwave and they were often low quality, they sound kind of creepy and they're a little mysterious. Like sometimes they were used for the transmission of like information between spies. Other times it's kind of like probably just some weirdo reading numbers. Some guy who likes numbers. I don't know. But that's kind of like this, because yeah, there's these old, old, old deteriorated samples, but then just randomly people in like German or other languages will just like be reading numbers. I think that's what the vocal samples are underneath, but I'm not 100% sure. And it's really interesting. It's a little interesting, fun little like broken transmission experiment.
Yeah. I really like the idea of like using lotto announcements too as a source material, because it's very ritualistic, right? It's very like very structured, very formalized, and they're entirely like it's recorded media, but like after the numbers are read off and the winner is, you know, they figure out who the winner is, like it's totally discarded, right? It's this incredibly ephemeral piece of media that is just robotically done over and over and over again. So you have this huge archive of material that is, you know, a lot of effort and expense was to put in to make it, and then it's just totally discarded as soon as it's over. And just out of context, it sounds so fucking weird, right? Just this person reading numbers. And it's not mysterious like Number Stations. You totally understand why it is done. But like, damn, it's fucking weird when you just look at it out of context.
Especially, you know, we recently have just had numerous kind of big lotto things. Yeah, so lotto is like this weird ephemeral thing that people still pump millions of dollars into. It's very strange.
Like lottos are, I thought, you know, I'm just very ignorant, I guess, on the proliferation of lottos. I always assume lottos are like primarily like an American thing because, you know, Americans are. Well, we're not great when it comes to a lot of things, but the sophisticated Europeans are also doing lottos. Oh, okay. Well,
I think like some general luck numbers game is probably pretty universal.
Yeah.
Again, can't speak for sure, but I think the American obsession with it might be unique. Especially, I don't know if how prevalent like scratchers are in other countries. Like that's less like reading numbers. So a scratcher is like a scratch ticket where you buy, like spend a dollar or two and you get a little piece of, have you ever played scratchers, Ross? You know what I'm talking about?
I mean, I'm aware of them, but I've never played a lotto game. Or
I did a little bit, like when I turned 18, it was like, I can buy these now. I did it for like a month and I won like $20 or something. But yeah, so they're generally like themed, like a baseball or whatever. And you scratch off pieces of this cardboard ticket has foil and you scratch it off with a coin. And like, if you match three baseballs, you win $50 or something like that, you know? So, but I just see people just, even in my small town, which does not have a lot of people, just lines on like Friday and Saturday at like these scratcher to just buy these tickets. Like it's a,
jeez,
it's like a slot machine analog almost for some people, I think, you know? Yeah. Which I have seen a slot machine in a gas station going back to CT-57, which is very depressing, driving across from California to Maryland, which is,
oh yeah,
you know, a long drive that's across the entire country.
No, I remember going like driving through Oklahoma and stopping in gas stations and seeing it. Cause you know, like, yeah, it's just big truck stops. They just have a little room full of slot machines. It's like, oh yeah.
This is like a Citgo or something. And there's just like two of them in the corner by like chips and bad sunglasses. And there's somebody like just pumping quarters into one in this like middle of nowhere, Tennessee. I was like, my God.
My God.
Yeah. So Lotto, a fascinating cultural phenomenon and a fascinating broken transmission album.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to break my own clever wordplay outro there.
Mm-hmm.
To also say that the tracks named Interlude were my absolute favorite on this album. I think those like six interlude tracks could almost be their own album.
Mm.
They were awesome. Like Interlude One is such a fucking jam. That was the sample I played before this segment started.
Yeah, no, I agree. This is definitely an album I'm going to re-listen to because it's very fun. And yeah, very weird and haunted as shit. Speaking of haunted, there is a new Burial EP called Streetlands, and it is a really interesting album because of the transitions because of the complexity of the tracks, right? Like it starts as this sort of like haunted, very sort of light, kind of mournful, and then it just changes so much. It gets almost like angelic, celestial kind of feeling, and then gets almost like the opening of like the prelude to a really banger house track at the very end. It gets more, like right before the drop, right? Like, that's what I feel with the last track, like Exocode. Mm-hmm. Comments on the YouTube version of it say this would be a great soundtrack to a cyberpunk film or show. It's like, yeah, there are bits. It's like, is this Vangelis? Or are they just sampling Vangelis? Is this motherfucking Blade Runner again?
Yeah.
I quite like it.
I thought this album was fascinating just because it's three tracks and each one feels like they'd be from a completely different album. Like you just described the progression theorem. And I was really curious because I do know Burial largely the ambient work. So it's kind of cool that a new one came out. Was it like Ghost Hardware is an old Burial project I really liked, if I remember correctly?
Yeah, that's 2007. Yeah, Ghost Hardware is the 2007 Burial EP.
Okay, good. Memory still works sometimes.
Yeah.
But it was just interesting because it was like, I was listening to the first track and I was like, well, what are the tags for this? And it's like hyperdub and dubstep. And I was like, And then the third track happens. You're like,
Yeah.
Okay. I'm into it.
Yeah, it's only three tracks. Each one is, about 8 minutes long or so, 8 to 15 minutes long. And the whole thing is only like half an hour, basically. It's been a long time since I've listened to Burial. I'll have to go back because, it has been a hot minute. I'm looking at their Wikipedia now, and I didn't realize they collaborated with like Fortet, Massive Attack, Tom York. Yeah, like, holy shit.
Yeah, I've worked with a lot of big names. And I don't know why Ghost Hardware is in my head. It must have been somebody I went to film school with, talked to me about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're self-titled, I think, is kind of the only stuff by them I know. So I definitely want to go check out a lot of the other albums because actually looking at their Bandcamp right now, I actually have a fair amount to go through.
Yeah, this is also a follow-up to Anti-Dawn, which was released earlier this year, January. So Anti-Dawn is also, only a 5-track thing, but that album records an interzone between dislocated patchwork songwriting and eerie open-world game space ambience. So I guess I could see Streetlands being a follow-up to that. I mean, I haven't listened to Andy Dawn yet, but like, yeah, I could see, the ambience, the eeriness. Like, yeah, eerie is a good word to describe this album. Streetlands.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I did put down celestial in this. It's very peaceful at times. And
oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So very, meditative. And yeah, if you want a music to relax by and to think about the greater meaning of the universe, this would be a good album to put on.
Do it.
Watch as the social media universe burns around you as you contemplate everything. Polish Night Music by Marek Zabrowski and David Lynch, which is a very interesting project. And this is the David Lynch. This is just not someone who it's
my boy,
your boy. I quite liked it. It's very sparse. It's a very minimalist album, very dark ambient, very neo-noir ambient. That's a new term I've heard recently, noir ambient.
Okay.
I think, but yeah, it's very minimalist. It's just two people jamming. A lot of it is the counterplay between the two. And they're on a very slow pace, but it's very nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So this comes out of a period in like the late 2000s of Lynch getting into doing his own Jabroni synth stuff. So this really started with an album, The Air Is on Fire, which is also 2007, but that's just David Lynch. That was not a collaboration with anybody else, which I also highly recommend. It's like very similar to Polish Night Music, this album, except for it doesn't have the piano over it, because the piano is entirely from, like, the more intricate piano parts are from Zabrowski, the collaborator. And you can see that in, there's some live videos of performances from this album of the two of them. And you can see that Zabrowski plays all like the actual piano parts, and Lynch is just kind of hitting like little notes on his synth and turning knobs and stuff.
Yeah. It says, according to Wikipedia, Lynch is performing on a Korg synthesizer and Zabrowski is on a Yamaha piano.
Yeah. That stands with what's in the live video. And I think, you know, he's into this. He has his own little like sound studio in his LA mansion, I guess. I mean, why not? You know, you got enough money. I would too. I almost liked The Air Is on Fire a bit more. I find the piano stuff a little distracting. Like, I just really like the drone underneath, but I still think it's pretty interesting for being such an old project. It's funny. Like, it's one of those things that's just so out of print, because I went and looked for like any sort of release, because it's just on YouTube, basically, and like Spotify, I think, has it, like these types of streaming services. But it's one of these things where, like, CDs and stuff are like $130 on like Discogs and stuff. So I was like, well, probably not getting a physical copy of that. But yeah, it's just really cool, like late night noir synth drone. It sounds like something David Lynch would put in a David Lynch film.
Yeah, it's about the tension of emptiness, I think, more than anything else. Okay. Like, looking at the, Dean Hurley referred to the album's imagery about being about night, barren train stations, Polish factories, silent hotels where lonely travelers meet. So, you know, there's a lot of, like, in David Lynch films, there's a lot of tension about emptiness. Like, Lynch will show us something that is a very empty place or space, you know, the darkness or just a barren street, an empty street. And like, but with the music, you know that there could be something awful around the corner. And this music is kind of about that anticipation, and it never really, you know, materializes, but it's just sort of about, this emptiness. And which, of course, since it's very minimalist as an album, it makes sense.
brings us to our last album, The Fundamental Nature of Being by the Shaolin Afronauts, a large Afro-Cuban jazz collective out of Adelaide, Australia. Mm-hmm. So this is a massive release. I think it's independently released in numerous parts, but it is a 5 LP box set is like the complete jam. And man, absolute beautiful, just like Afro-Cuban jazz jamming. Mm-hmm. It's a very varied and very long album, so it's hard to talk about it in too much specifics, and it's very different from what we normally talk about. So
yeah, it's very lively jazz. I haven't listened to the whole album. I've listened to a little bit of it, but yeah, mm-hmm. I've listened to the Shaolin Afronauts before. Yeah, they're it's very lively is a mild statement.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just jams. Yeah. Of various intensity, because towards the end, I like the last few tracks, Reflections, which I think is probably the 5th LP. If you look at how these are kind of divvied out, is much more somber, much lower key. But there's, horn sections, there's synth, there's, it does go from like jazz jams to reflective synth to more mellow music. It's a wide variety. And I really just included it, not just because I think it's very good, but also it's just a genre that I love, but is hard to talk about in the context of the show. Like that 70s inspired jazz fusion is absolutely like my desert island genre.
Oh, no, I get it. I get it. I quite like it as well. I mean, in general. So I will. Like you said, this is a massive release. This is a huge album. So I will have to listen to the whole thing at some point. But yeah, I'm glad that one of our listeners pointed out that it was out. Like I don't.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I don't follow them that closely. But honestly, weirdly enough, I only found out about the Shaolin Afronauts through YouTube's the almighty algorithm recommended it to me. It's like, well, this name is intriguing. I will listen to this. Oh, well, this is quite nice. I like this. So we should just all, come at peace with the algorithm.
I guess. Yeah. I think if you do want to tackle this, if you look on the Bandcamp, there's the vinyl track list. Mm-hmm. And I would just do 1 LP a day. Okay. It's like 5 to 6 tracks a day, depending on how they're divided up. So that's pretty straightforward. That's 30 minutes of music a day. Kind of probably how it's intended to be listened to, the individual parts.
That's fair, because like with such a big album, sometimes you get like so saturated in a music in a big project. Like,
yeah. And they're broken out too individually. So the show notes will link to just the big 5 set, but there is part 1, part 2, part 3, part 4, and part 5 subbed out on Bandcamp. So just pick a part, just do a part a day for a week.
Okay.
That's my recommendation.
I will do that then. Well, I think that is all the albums that we were planning to talk about today.
We made it.
We did it. So first off, thank you so much for listening. Our next episode, we'll be talking about vaporwave and consumerism for the holidays, because the holidays are upon us, whether we like it or not. And there's obviously a lot of vaporwave has a lot to say about consumerism. So that'll be fun. And also, if you haven't joined our Patreon, please do that. Patreon.com/nightclerkradio. You'll be supporting this podcast and you get bonus podcasts. We do a monthly bonus podcast where we talk about things like Minecraft, The Caretaker. We have also talked about Dungeon Synth and the Hyperreal more recently. So, and also we're working on essays and we'll be posting them to the Patreon. We are on Twitter. As long as Twitter is around, we will be around @NightClerkRadio, @RossPayton, @BurkeMcBurkinson. We have a website, nightclerkradio.com. We have a Facebook page at, you know, look for Night Clerk Radio on Facebook. We will also have a, we have a co-host page now.
More social medias to ignore.
Yay. Please rate and review everybody. Us. Yeah. On Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever you listen to, tell your friends, tell your enemies, tell the people at the gas station when you go there at midnight about this cool podcast where they have a good music about being at a gas station at midnight, and they should check it out. So just something fun to do to talk to those people. Until next time, keep on listening and enjoying. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.